Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, let's start with the last game. You know, betting against Tom Brady is just not, I mean, I know he's not the same Tom Brady, but he can still, it's amazing. It is simply amazing, this guy in the postseason. And we knew Drew Brees wasn't as good, right? Didn't we not know that Drew Brees was?
Yeah, we talked about it last week. Yeah. This could be his last leg, this last run, and he looked like it.
He sure did look like it. I mean, that was bad.
Hold on a second. I think that the Kamara was a Kamara goof. Kamara should have turned based on where he was in the seam. He threw the ball where Kamara was supposed to look. Man, Devin White was freaking phenomenal yesterday.
Yes, he was.
He was freaking phenomenal. I think that Breeze, not all of – here's the thing. It's harder to see with Breeze because Phillip Rivers, you can see, it's just a war for him to get the ball 15 yards. Like, it's just – it's painful to watch. Drew doesn't look like that, but the performances tell you that Drew Brees, and especially after he got hurt, just has not looked. Look, even that little slant, right?
He's not the same.
But it's not his fault that Antoine Winfield popped the ball out.
No. But he threw three picks.
No, he did. I'm not sure all of them were on him, though.
Yeah.
But with that said, he hasn't really. The reason they had a chance at winning was because of Alvin Kamara was running the ball great.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara ran the ball great. So, you know, Jared Cook's fumble was a big deal. But I think this is it. Breeze didn't announce it. I didn't miss anything where he announced anything.
No, he didn't announce it.
But I think this is going to be it for Drew Brees, and now the Saints are going to have to figure out Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill. My guess is they don't, neither one of them. But even though I just saw that interceptions, I mean, Devin White was all over that, so it really was. Regardless,
that was a bad throw. No matter
regardless,
what.
It was going to be. Even if he looked up, and don't you want to wait till your receiver's eyes are on you? But
yeah.
I digress. I just feel like Drew Brees is going to be gone. So here's the thing: with all these really intriguing young quarterbacks coming to the league, we are going to lose Drew Brees. We're going to lose Ben Roethlisberger, maybe both of them as soon as this year. You never know. Phillip Rivers, and very shortly, Tom Brady. So four of
Hall of Famers.
The top, I would say all four are going to be Hall. You think Breeze is?
Oh,
Breeze? Not Breeze. Rivers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
And I guess Rodgers. See, I think this week, I truly believe this weekend's matchup is the greatest of all time versus the most talented of all time. I think Rodgers is the most talented quarterback that I've ever seen. Pure talent. Can. Maneuverability, escapability.
Boy, does he look good now.
He at this age, he looks no worse. He's had a phenomenal touchdown interception ratio. He throws it a ton. It's not all short stuff. He's got arm talent. He's got the ability to extend. He thinks quickly. He's got a razor sharp release. He's got great accuracy, zip on the ball. The most talented quarterback that I've ever seen is Aaron Rodgers. More than Tom Brady, more than Peyton Manning. I mean, it's pure talent. It's Aaron Rodgers, and he's taking on the greatest of all time. And I said this yesterday on Twitter, the Patriot way should officially be branded the Tom Brady way. Because it feels like, and then people, yeah, all these turnovers. Hey, Tom Brady's not the same guy now. I mean, he's in his 40s. What did he do? He made plays. He made throws that in years past, Gronk would have held on to. He would have been a step quicker, and it would have been touchdowns. I thought Tom Brady played fine yesterday. All I know is he's in his 14th championship game. And I know that the coaching tree looks like garbage from Bill Belichick. And I know that the drafting has not been very good. All this Patriot Way stuff, yeah, I think it was viable for the first 10 to 12 years. But it's been the Brady Way. It really has been the Brady Way since about 2013.
It happened. I had an argument with somebody. I mean, where it got ugly.
You need to stop arguing with people. They don't have the right side.
It got ugly about Belichick versus Brady. And when Jacoby Brissett beat the Texans, it was like, you say. I'm like,
the Texans.
Yeah, remember when he ran for Pete?
Yeah.
You see, Tom Brady's not there. He ran winning. It's all Belichick. How is it now?
Wasn't it a bootleg for like 30 yards?
Yeah. Yeah. Bootleg where the Texans didn't contain. Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It wasn't Tom Brady. Oh, by the way, when was the last time the Bucs were in the playoffs?
Ooh. I know they had the stat about when the last time they won a playoff game. When was the last time they were in the playoffs?
I don't think they've been in the playoffs for. I don't know. I don't want to say since 2002, but it's been a long time since the Bucs have even been there. You know why they're there? Because they got Tom Brady. That's why they're there. And that's why they're going to the NFC Championship game. Now Pat Mahomes, I bet somebody. I gave him 2.5 to 1 that Pat Mahomes. He said there's a good chance Pat Mahomes won't play next week. I said, I'll give you 2.5 to 1 on that one. Pat Mahomes will play next week.
I think that's safe.
I don't think there's.
Between Pat Mahomes and I didn't love Andy Reid's play calling. How do you run an option? I mean, Pat Mahomes was visibly limping the whole time. He's throwing great. How do you put him on the run on a short yardage play?
No way.
Williams had been hitting it in there. How do you put him on an option play? That is so stupid. I didn't like the play calling at the end of the game. I know he had to pull a fourth down play out of his ass. Tyreek Hill drops it. There's a good chance you lose that game.
Yeah, but that was that. First of all, they were in shotgun. Secondly, I'm thinking they're just going to draw aside. When they snapped the ball, I said, "What in the hell are you?"
I thought
doing?
That too. And then throwing deep with Chad Henne, where he threw a pop fly can of corn, and then they were able to George Springer it just. Right.
I was with a maniacal Browns fan. He screamed at every play. I was with a maniacal Browns fan, and he said the Higgins play before the half was what lost the game. It's not the case. I mean, it was a dumb play, trying to reach the ball over. How many times do we see the same thing happen over and over and over?
I get it.
Over.
You're competing. I truly get it.
But you would have been first and goal
if you tuck
with a minute 20 to play or whatever.
If you tuck it, yeah. I mean, you're getting in from the one.
Yes. You're going to get in
from the one. You are unstoppable on short yardage with Nick Chubb.
No, it was a huge play, but changed everything. Absolutely. It wasn't you had a chance to win the game. With 4 minutes left, you had the ball after the interception, and you did nothing. That was the game. You have to go down. You got to have huge, gigantic nuts, and you got to take the ball down the field and win a football game.
I know Romo was just talking about how all the momentum had changed, and he was right as that game was going along. But I thought to myself, if the Chiefs are anything what we expect them to be, I know there's no Mahomes. You don't let the Browns go down the field 3 times for 80-plus yard drives. Because, you know, they had done it twice already in that half, 2 80-yard drives. If you're the Chiefs and you're that defense, you go, you're not doing it a third time. So I thought to myself, yeah, no Mahomes, but if the Chiefs are what we thought they're supposed to be, you can't let that Browns team who's limited offensively do that to you.
No.
And they found a way.
I'm telling you right now, I've got in my midseason predictions, I had it'll be wrong because I had Bills over Saints, and Saints are obviously out. I truly believe that the Bills have a chance to beat Kansas City. Now, I know that's a little bit, I'm taking a shot, but with Pat Mahomes not 100%, we don't know about concussion protocol, but something tells me he's going to be just fine.
I asked
my dad about it. He goes, the team is not allowed to do. This is a league.
He'll
thing.
Snap out of it.
It was interesting because there
I think
was,
so too.
Mahomes will
but
snap
what about
out
the foot?
It.
The foot was bothering
that's going to be that. That could be.
Although he was making all the throws with that foot.
Yeah, but you saw. I mean, you saw his form. It was different. He was definitely. And
but
you
Henny
run
looked,
and you run an option with him. Are you nuts, Andy Reid? Honestly, that's one of the dumbest calls. If Eric Bieniemy called that.
No, that was Bieniemy's call.
Oh, that one was being
the good ones are Andy Reid.
That's why you can't hire him.
Bad ones.
No wonder you can't hire him.
The previous option when they scored a touchdown, that was Reed's call?
That was Reed.
Reed called that.
Yeah, when they called
it. Called that.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that fourth and one play before because they did the same thing to the Dolphins when they played early in the regular season. They don't care. It wasn't at midfield and it was a regular season game, but it was like at the 38-39 yard line, fourth. You could have easily punted the ball, but you know, they went for a fourth and one from the shotgun. Tyreek
Hill with a backup quarterback. Well, I could see running that with Mahomes.
Well, look how wide open he is. As long as he didn't throw the ball in the dirt, it was an easy throw.
You know, that's so, you know what? That Devontae Smith play and that Tyreek Hill play where you put him in motion and he turns around and runs the other it's back impossible. To where he was, it's impossible to stop.
Yeah. How about, and I thought Tony Romo showed why certain plays are designed. Like, it was really enlightening the way he showed, okay, all the wide receivers are here. You've got wait. Was Romo on the afternoon game?
He was on the Chiefs game.
Yeah, they were on the Chiefs game. Oh, no, it's Kelsey. He was saying, everyone's over here. Kelsey's here in line. Mm-hmm. This is really just a one-on-one matchup.
Good time.
Right here. Yeah. They're creating a one-on-one matchup. And he was showing designs of different things and zone. He showed their zone flood concept, what they use. And it was just, I mean, I learned so much from Romo time just watching. And play design, I just think people, for me, I just think that's such great. A, I like the angle from, and I believe this should be the angle for all 22 for coaches, should be the ability from behind to see everything, but it's closer to the line of scrimmage with those cameras they have. You can see everything unfold. It's a great angle for instant replays. But when you have guys like Collinsworth, but especially Romo, who can tell you what quarterbacks are thinking here, what the concept is that they design, I just think it's just so good for football viewers to be able to learn because it really shows you how good. And Gary Danielson did a good job at times showing you, I say it was Danielson, it may have been Herb Street, of showing you play designs from Sark too. How Sarkisian had designed plays specifically for, you know, where it was basically delay plays, where it looks like it's just going to be Najee Harris running, you know, kind of a delayed circle route, and then all of a sudden he cuts back across the field after a clear out route. It's like, that's pure Sark. That's pure play design, and it's so good to see. That's what design is. You know, people talk about play calling's terrible. Play design is important, too. When I watch these, I watch some quarterbacks who have I watch their offenses. I'm like, you're not giving them – you don't have protection, but you're running a bunch of verticals all the time, and you're asking these college quarterbacks to try to hang in and get and hope that they get protected. Like, give them some stuff where they can make a throw.
You talking about Gus Malzahn?
Gus is one of the worst.
Yeah.
Yes, Gus is one of the worst where every – I am 100% talking about Gus. When I watch Stidham, I'm like, dude, Stidham's getting ransacked.
Yeah.
His last year, and no one was open because Gus is all vertical.
Yep.
How did you know? Why did you? What made you say that?
I don't know, because I know that that's what Gus do.
It was 100% Gus that made me think of that, because Stidham had no chance his last year.
Yep. All right, 813 ESPN 975-737-803-776. You want to get in here on ESPN 975? I want to talk right now about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. If you're looking for a great way to improve that home or that business, and your business, people, I mean, you're getting back now. You are getting back to hopefully post-COVID. It's going to happen for you. So when you get back to your business and everything gets back to normal, are you ready to get back into business? Or this is a wonderful opportunity when there isn't as much. Or what you can remodel. You can upgrade. You can definitely fix those bathrooms. Fix that, those countertops. Redo. He will remodel your entire place. He'll put in an entire outdoor patio for your business, whatever that business may be. How about if you've got a restaurant and you want to take advantage of what the spring and falls offer here? Even the summer, you can eat outside. If you're looking for that, if you're looking for somebody that can do this for you and get it done and improve the value of your business or your home, that's what Jeff Aronoff does every single day. Just give him a call. Let him come. Let him see your place. Let him tell you exactly what you need to do, and he'll get that job done for you. It's what he does every single day. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, this past weekend is favorites weekend. The wild card weekend is dogs. This past weekend was favorites. But yesterday, the both dogs covered. And how about the way that the Browns went from 10 to 8? Right before the game.
I wonder what the people knew.
No, well, that's sharp money.
The sharps, what did they know?
They knew, I guess they knew, that maybe this Chiefs team is...
Look, we saw last year, they were down big, but because of who they are and what they're capable of doing, they're never out of a game.
No.
But they weren't this juggernaut last year. They were down double digits in all three playoff games, right?
They played.
Right? Weren't they in... To the
Texans, we know.
To the Titans. Were they double digits down the Titans? I'll look it up. But in late into the fourth quarter, they're down two scores against the 49ers, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't a juggernaut. So I guess if you think they're susceptible to not playing at their best, you could take that number down.
See, they're such a public team right now, though, with Mahomes. The money got to about even. The Browns picked it up really late, and it moved that number down to 8. Listen, a lot of money doesn't change a number. The right money changes the number. The right people betting on a certain team, that's what changes the number. Yeah. But to go from 10 to 8 was wow.
In the AFC title game last year, they're down 10-0 and 17-7 until they turned it around.
The Texans were up 24 on them.
Yeah, but that was the wrong side, though. If he stays in, they're gonna roll them because they were getting touchdowns every time. Like, he was going down, score, 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 score. They weren't even having to punt. And Henny came in. It's like, especially once they fumbled. I mean, they were up 16 at half, and then when they fumbled it right before the half, and they went and got down and got three.
They went down and got three.
Yep. They were gonna cruise, and they were all of a sudden sitting there. Now, I will say, it doesn't get much more of a lock than a rub route with Tyreek Hill in short yardage. As long as you don't make a bad throw.
Right.
But
to depend on your backup, Chad Henne.
Jeez, if he had thrown it down by his ankles and just kind of got real tight, and they gave him a chance to, I don't know. Everyone loves aggressive, 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 so what's the problem, I guess?
No,
fan bases love going for it. Now, he would have got murdered. If that ends up not working,
oh my gosh,
he gets murdered.
Yep.
People who love it, like, I usually like this, but this is just too much. Like, nah, you love it all the time. If it works.
And then Tampa, we talked a little bit about that, and Drew Brees and Tom Brady. We haven't talked about Aaron Rodgers just taking care of that Ram business. And Goff was pretty damn good. How about that Sean McVay said every job is up for grabs, even quarterback next year? Really? Goff didn't play horribly. He's got a bad thumb. He's in the cold. He was really good in the first half. And then Aaron Donald not playing. How about the Packers just gashing him on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable how they were running all over him. They just, it seemed like every play. Without Aaron Donald, you know, Staley got the job. Brandon Staley got the Lions job. Oh, no, Dan Campbell got the Lions job, right?
Staley got the Chargers job.
Staley got the Chargers job.
What about the Sean McVay tree now?
How about that?
Another 30-something-year-old getting the job.
There you go. Maybe the Texans, hey, you see something happening here? You see something, Texans? No, we're going to interview Jim Caldwell and Leslie Frazier. Okay, way to go.
Well, they did Joe Burrow, too. I mean, Joe Brady.
Yeah, and... Where's that second interview with Joe Brady?
Well, they got some other concerns, like placating their...
I think he'd be amazing with Deshaun.
I do, too. I think Deshaun might go...
I don't know. Deshaun never talked to him or... And maybe he is too young to have this shot. Maybe he didn't wow in interviews. That's possible, too.
Because he didn't get another job either, so...
Yeah, well, we'll see. So, no, it was unbelievable how the Packers were able to run the football. We'll see if they're – I don't think they're going to be able to do that against Tampa. But, man, did they just controlled the ground and did everything. And then the Bills, you know, they didn't look great, but another concussion, this one for Lamar. That defense was stifling on Lamar. I mean stifling. And Lamar just couldn't do anything he wanted to do. When was he out? In the third quarter?
Yeah, but the Bills have kind of figured some things out. And it's funny because the Bills don't stop the run. The Bills and they were gashing them early in the game with the running on J.K. Dobbins. Yep. Actually, it's Gus Edwards. Edwards and Dobbins, they were gashing. I mean, it is really an unusual thing where Ravens fans, I kind of paid attention to this, Ravens fans are calling for a new passing attack. Remember now, these are the same basic receivers, the same offense coordinator, the same MVP who were passing last year. But now they want a new passing attack. I think some people went to school on Lamar's tendencies and studied the charts because they've got heat charts of where he's best and where he's worse. You can find it on Pro Football Focus has it. For the team on the team side. And I think they found where he's worst, and what they're basically doing is taking away where he's best, which is basic defense coordinator stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You go look at the data, you take away a guy's strength or a team's strength, and you force them into their weakness. And I think that's become a big issue is Lamar this year regressed some as a passer. And I don't know if it's as much regress as it is teams made adjustments and he has not officially countered yet. And instead of trying to work through that, Greg Roman said, well, let's flip this offense to more, let's lean into Lamar's strengths. And that's fine. But when the running game gets slowed down at any point, now all of a sudden you have to remake probably a little more balanced attack.
You gotta have it, but you got to. But it didn't help when you throw a 100-yard interception.
That hurts your chances.
That hurts your chances when you're going in and they score a touchdown.
It is pretty. I'm looking at it right now. The back-to-back plays on the previous play, he has a crosser that's coming open, but quick pressure, so he can't get anything into it.
Yeah, the O line wasn't short, as good.
And then the next play, he throws a pick. So just a matter of a back missing a protection. Probably cost him a tie game, and then it went the other way, and the game was over. At the-
little things can, and remember now he lost Ronnie Stanley at left tackle, Marshall Yanda at right guard. They have a rookie and Tyree Phillips at right tackle. So there are some offensive line things at play here, also that is not nearly as good.
He got sacked three times for 24 yards. He only averaged. This is another thing: 9 rushes for 34 yards. If he doesn't, he didn't break any. No big plays. Now, they did have a 30 and a 31-yard pass play, but to hold them those guys to two plays over 20 yards, that's how you beat the Ravens. You stop the big play. They had two plays over 20 yards in the whole game. The Ravens won't win a football game that way.
No, they need chunk plays. That's what they rely on, chunk plays, even on the ground. And you can run the ball like that as long as you can hit the big plays, you know, over the top with – And actually, they did with Huntley. When Huntley came in, they hit one to Hollywood Brown.
And he missed another one, too.
What's that?
And he missed another one.
He missed a wide open touchdown.
Yeah,
that could have gone a different way. What do you think about the matchup between – well, first of all, so the narrative last week was Lamar's – he's got the monkey's off the back. He got the playoff.
He did finally win one. You got to give him that.
Well, winning a playoff game is nice, but when you're an MVP and considered an elite superstar – that's not nearly enough. So these are 3 years in the league, right? Yeah, this is his third year in the league. I wonder where it goes next year because you can't pay attention to Twitter. Half the people put the cape on. People who aren't even Ravens fans or Bills fans are just all on board with Lamar. Nothing's his fault. He's just this.
He's a people's quarterback, definitely.
Yeah. And then on the other side, it's people who can't wait to go against Lamar. And it's really for people who just – you know, like to just talk about football or watch football and you don't have an agenda. Twitter's very frustrating in that way because it makes you think that everything's racial about everything.
How can you not like watching him play?
Oh, I enjoy watching him play.
I love watching him
play. But it doesn't change the fact that he is an incomplete player right now.
No,
and teams are starting to exploit him.
No.
So he's not this superstar right now. I mean, he is a superstar, but he's not an elite player by any stretch right now.
No, he definitely regressed from one of the top three quarterbacks in the league last year,
but it's what happens to a lot of young quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield saw it, too. You now have to play chess, and when they try to take something away, you got to get it back.
Well, but guess what? Baker improved greatly this year.
At times. Sometimes not as much. You know why he improved? The running game was the central. Baker is a game manager. He's not a playmaker. He's a snap taker. So once you gave him the running game, Baker is comfortable off the play action stuff, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being
I think
that.
Baker makes plays.
There are multiple guys.
Baker
like
makes plays.
He can make some plays, but in
general. I don't
general,
look at him as a game manager.
Is he better?
What's wrong with being a game manager?
Well, nothing's wrong with being a game manager, but I don't think that's him.
I think he
is a
Jimmy
playmaker.
Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl.
Now, that's a game manager.
Isn't Baker,
but his numbers were about the same
Isn't Baker AFC Jared Goff?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a people who have taken it as a slander. It's not a slander. Deshaun Watson is a playmaker. I don't put Baker. Aaron Rodgers is a playmaker. Baker's not in that category. Baker plays behind the run, and that's good. That's what you should do. That's the Gary Kubiak way. That's what Stefanski runs, is the Kubiak model in many ways, which is a good model. It's the Shanahan model. It's you can win with that model. Matt Ryan, to me, makes plays out of the scheme, you know, but he's not a playmaker per se. And you can win with Baker Mayfield. You just need to run the ball and have good chemistry in the locker room. And I think this shows you really didn't need Odell Beckham Jr. Really don't.
You never did. You know, he threw for 3,500 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Those are they're not pedestrian by any means, but he had a good year. Really
by today's
good year.
NFL standards, they're a little pedestrian.
Yeah. Yeah,
he didn't hit 4,000.
Probably middle
but
of the
look
pack.
Where they are.
Yeah.
But look where they are. I mean, this is the right. You can win with this.
Yeah.
Look where the Texans are. Deshaun had this 4 wins, yeah. And they couldn't run the ball.
All right, 713-780-3776, 828, ESPN, 97.5. I got to talk about right now. And let's get back. I definitely want to talk. We got to talk about this Rockets and the deal that was made and the speculation about what else could have happened. Right now, though, I want to talk about Chastain Ford, my peeps over there. I'm telling you, I love these people. And there is no better time than right now. Whenever you get to the new year and they've got to get rid of the year before's cars, the 2020 Ford F-150 XLTS, they're $10,000 off right now. And the Explorers as well, $10,000 off right now. You're listen, in 2021, you're saving on 2020s. They got to get them off the lot. They got the F-150 STX, $29,999 or $499 a month with zero down. It is the time to buy and the best people to buy from, I'm telling you. You'll probably meet Patrick, maybe Joe, I don't know. But you're probably going to meet Patrick Chastain and you're going to find that this guy is the nicest guy. And one of the first things he tells, make sure everybody knows that we're not going to add on. We don't do that. Other dealerships, by the time it's all said and done, you're spending $4,000 or $5,000 more than you wanted to. It's not the case. What you want at Chastain Ford, you get. And they're going to get you into the deals and at the price that you have to have it every single month. They did that with me. They'll do that with you. I promise you. So get to ChastainFord.com. You can buy online where you can't other places. Or it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
Let it bump, though.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Victor Oladipo met the media this weekend. And apparently he said all the right things, right? Now, Stephen Silas met him and said, man, I could tell in the first 5 minutes that I was with him. The kind of character that he has, the kind of guy that he is. I think, you know, I guess you can tell. We'll see.
I mean, Indiana would maybe say differently.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's he's asking other guys on other teams, you know, hey, you got any, how hey, about...
There's a spot. Is there a spot for spot, me?
Have you got any spots open over there? Are there any job openings over there? So I'm not so sure that that would be the case with everybody, but Victor Oladipo is going to be a nice addition. Man, when John Wall, Boogie, well, I remember Eric Gordon used to play for this team. You remember how he used to play here?
I remember Daniel House too.
Daniel House, when he played for the team, how nice it was. This is going to look like an entirely different team. I'm telling you, Christian Wood is so good. You can tell me, and maybe you didn't like the trade because he did value now the draft picks, and he has said it flat out. I valued the Nets draft picks.
Yeah, and it's not just where the Nets might be picking, and that those your picks. Those draft picks can be used to acquire other players.
Yeah. No. And I don't think they're done. I think P.J. Tucker could be a casualty here. There's no question. Maybe a contending team that gets an injury before the trade deadline. You know, the P.J. Tucker would be a nice piece. You get a whatever for him, a second rounder, whatever you get for him. And you know, second rounders or whatever they are. But in P.J.'s value is way low. But, man, an expiring contract of an $8 million guy, he'd be very attractive to some teams, especially a team that's contending, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely, he'd be
turn it into another first, potentially.
And the Rockets aren't, you know, they're 4-7. They'll be better.
But did you mention Caris LeVert?
Caris LeVert had a lump of some sort on his liver. Was it liver? Or
liver. Was I believe,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
Not kidney. I think it's a liver.
They found
it was a small mass on his kidney.
On his kidney.
Liver, yes. Kidney. What's it?
Same thing. Same thing.
Well,
do you have any idea where your liver or your kidney
no,
is?
No, I just know none. One of them is extremely important to you.
Or
is
both.
It? Or is it?
Well, both, you make though. That point. Is it? How important could it be to you?
It's very important because it drains all the stuff
do
out
you
of
treat
body.
It like it's important?
Yes.
Or do you abuse it?
No, I don't abuse it. I'm very happy.
Witness that you are under oath.
I'll massage my liver. Every once in a while, I'll give it, you know what? I'll buy it some.
You know what else they do?
Every once in a while, I'll give it some water.
Guess what else they do? You're just like foie gras. They're just plumping up your liver full of stuff so they can just, this is delicious.
Is that what they're doing?
So you've got, I thought that, you know, when I found out about that later, I thought, wow, this could have just completely derailed the whole trade.
And I think the Rockets had to, somehow, the Rockets had to give up another another pick to make the deal go through.
Yeah, they had to give up another second rounder, I think.
Yeah.
But that's not a very good. I mean, maybe, I guess.
Caris LeVert's like, the price of my kidney is a second rounder.
That's it?
Well, yeah, in this case.
I'm pretty sure Indiana just wanted out of, which is not a great indicator, which is not a great thing for you getting a Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo was he had been playing well this year, but he had been a problem. There were some issues whether he would play in the bubble last year. He wanted out, and they knew it, and they finally found a way to discard him, and they got a pretty good player back.
Man, these players these days, they never want to be where they are.
Well, did he get traded there from OKC? Yeah, he never wanted to be there.
I'm going to look up, see how many players are in the transfer portal right now.
There are a lot.
Nobody wants to ever play where they are. And I say that my son transferred too, but and the transfer portal. Let's see how many players are in it as we speak.
Where do you go?
I mean,
well, there's you can find it. Yeah, I mean, they keep a list of guys.
There's a 21 college football transfer portal.
Oh my God, there's a whole transfer portal.
Yeah,
they let you know who's in and who's out.
Well, I know that the teams, as soon as they find out a guy is in the portal or whatever. It is amazing how many guys leave a situation that would have been better for them to get into, and they get into the portal, and then they realize, oh, my God, I've just stepped into way more competition than I had on campus.
And we keep talking about it. The NCAA keeps punting on making decisions because, you know, that's what they do. They still have to make the decision on what teams can do as far as counters. And counters mean how many guys you can take per year. Until they make that decision, a lot of teams are tapped out. Like, these guys don't have places to go until the NCAA says you can take more than 25 a year, so they're open up spots. But right now, a lot of kids can't go anywhere.
So something else that's going to affect the NFL, so I don't know if it's been made public yet, but I'm hearing there's just so much buzz. I was a little sick one day, but I, the, the combine is not expected to go this year as we know it. There's going to have to be a medical combine still because you have to get medicals, MRIs, X-rays, the whole nine yards. And this is really good for the players too because sometimes you'll find heart conditions, things that need to be addressed. And so it's for everyone's best. This is why so many undrafted free agents who didn't go to the combine, why they became undrafted free agents, because you didn't have a chance to get medicals on them after COVID. But what it's going to mean is that you're going to have fewer – you're not going to have the same amount of workout. Pro days are going to be very, very important. But also, the NFL may have to go from 30 individual visits to something like 60. Like they may have to double the individual visits. And I was wondering, if they had moved everything back 1 month, if the combine was at the end of March, do you guys think they could have gotten all the players inoculated or that? My wife seems to think that would still be too soon. It would still look like you're taking it away from older people. But if you roll it out more aggressively with the doses and you're more aggressive and you got your bleep together a little bit better, could you not have gotten players inoculated by the end of February? 340 players?
What's a reaction to it, too? Like, your reaction to it, you know.
It's a day.
Yeah. Well, and some
people, you got to keep an eye on it. They tell you to keep an eye on it. Could be as many as 4 days.
Did they
days.
Tell you when you got the shot that you were going to get sick?
No, they said you could. Uh-huh. And they said these could be the things, and it could last. But if it lasts a certain amount of days, then go see your doctor. You could be having a reaction to the shot. But it is possible these are some of the side effects. I just happen to get them all. But do you guys think that if they had moved it back, they could have safely had a combine by the end of March instead of the end of February?
I wonder how much information do they have on these rollouts? Because maybe they know better than we that
maybe so.
It may not matter what time we have it because this is going to be a slow process.
Maybe so. Well, it looks like it is now. Looks like it's a slow process. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is I just don't think they have enough time to get this stuff done. So with no combine, it means pro days are going to be, and the pro days are going to be, you know, every school has a pro day. But it is going to make it a lot more interesting. Once again, for the second draft in a row, it's going to have an impact on certain guys, and it's going to make it tougher. So they're going to have to do some things that help out the teams get a better idea of these players. And especially for a team like the Texans, who don't have a first or second, some of these guys are going to still be a little more unknown. And you got to get to know them. Do they love football? Especially Nick Caserio, the Patriot way. They want to know about your football character. They want to know how smart you are for certain positions like linebacker. They want to know how smart you are, and they want to know how smart you are and your football character, which is fine. But you know what else Bill Belichick loved? Big linebackers. Well, that's a case. You can get ready to see McKinney come back for, hey, we're going to give you a reduction, but we'll give you a couple extra years because you're a big old banger. You don't have to play all three downs. How about that, McKinney? That's the kind of linebacker the Patriots like, is McKinney. Big and physical. And we'll step into the hole. Landon Roberts, Juwan Bentley. He fits. I can tell you what looks like Patriots.
Hightower. Yep. Yep.
Hightower, yeah. They like big old physical bangers who have a little bit of straight line speed and, you know, who are just real physical in the hole. By the way, the rest of the NFL, not really following that model anymore. That's what concerns me. The rest of the NFL, speed. Look at the Tampa Bay Bucks. Look at the Colts. Look at some of the defenses
It looks like Devin Green White Bay. Got bigger, though. Well, certainly from his college days. He wasn't that big.
He's a weird body guy because he's low cut, meaning he's got a long torso and shorter legs, yeah. Which is considered good.
He is something.
Because you have a better center of gravity, you know? Yeah. You got. But Devin White is big, but he's also fast.
Yeah.
Is he a 4.5 40?
Boy, did he play a game yesterday.
So, yeah, if you're a 4.5 40, that's awesome. I don't care how big you are. If you're a 4.5 40, and they got this linebacker named Zaven Collins from Tulsa. He's only 260, 265. He's 6'4". He legitimately looks like a monster. That guy's an interesting prospect. Maybe second rounder. He won Nagurski and
Bednarik Award?
Yeah, the Bednarik Award. Yeah, he won both those awards.
No. 840 ESPN 97.5. Someone 3780-3776 is the number. Someone 3780 3776 to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5. More talk, Texans talk. We haven't delved into everything, including, is J.J. Watt going to be a Texan? Because the thought is, no, he's not going to be. We'll talk about it on the other side right here. Don't you go anywhere. In the meantime, you can bet on, you probably bet on what team J.J. is going to go to.
Oh.
With mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
I bet at some point.
Yeah, no. It'll be as soon as it's out there that he wants, I mean, you can bet on where you want Deshaun, right? Where Deshaun's going to end up, what team. That's awesome.
Are the Texans the favorite?
No, the Texans are not the favorite.
Mm, great.
So you go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and you can find all the bets that you could possibly want. It's unbelievable. You get live betting, and that's pretty cool. That's a lot of fun because as the game shifts, emotions and everything else, and yet you know what's going to happen. You figure what's going to happen. You get better and better odds when your team goes down. So that's when you bet. You don't have to make all your bets before the game. You could do it at mybookie.ag, promo code radio, during the game. And football, basketball, boxing, golf, soccer, baseball, motorsports, international hockey, politics. You can bet on anything. Table tennis, what? Yes, all of it. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. You deposit $1,000, up to $1,000, they will match half of that at MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. You're looking for the best place to win and get paid. It's MyBookie.ag, promo code radio.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right. So, I mean, I don't know that it's a lock, but it seems to be a foregone conclusion that J.J. is going to be gone. The $17.5 million contract, when you're 18 over the cap, it seems like just logical. Now, there's a lot of guys that you're going to have to part ways with, I think. I mean, Nick Cassera is going to come in here and go, wow. He's probably looking at his roster going right now. He's going, where's the value? Where's the good young value? Where's the first contract guys that are making contributions? Mm-hmm. Well, it's obviously the least desirable. No, it went from least desirable opening to now most undesirable job in all of the league.
Can you explain that to people?
Yeah. Adam Schefter said, one source said, it went from least desirable opening of head coaching opening to the most undesirable job in the entire league. Mm. Yeah. So that's
so it's been downgraded.
Yeah. And
if it were a stock, they downgraded it to sell across the
board. Oh, God. Sell now.
So we're bearish, right? It's a bear market for the Texans.
That's not a bull. That's a bear. Yeah.
Bear's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. If JJ goes, how much does that worsen the Deshaun situation?
I think they're separate.
No, I know, but now Deshaun's like, there are zero other stars here. Zero. I mean,
that's kind of rude.
No. Name the other stars.
J.J. Watt.
He's gone.
How?
They're trading him.
Who's he been traded to?
Yeah, don't worry. They're going to trade him.
I think we can smooth this out with J.J.
No.
I'm hoping they don't, I'm hoping they trade him and get value like always.
No, they have to get rid of him because of the money. It's not about smoothing things over.
No, I know. They can trade him, hopefully, for a second. It may only be a third, even if it's a third and fifth. If you're going to get less than a second, then get two picks. If you're going to get one pick, get a second. If you can get a player that will help your roster, great. What about trading JJ for a player who you can, like, would you trade JJ for a fifth and somebody who could improve your roster, even if they're not a great player?
It's funny. What was the best thing they got out of the Jadeveon Clowney deal? Jacob Martin.
Yeah. He's actually been not a bad player.
Not bad. No.
He's a defensive. What he is he's a DPR, defensive, or he's a designated pass rusher. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I mean, he's been a nice little player.
If you could get something like that for JJ, I think you'd take it right now.
I want more.
No, I know you want everybody. Yes, you want more, but what? JJ's got in the last year of his deal. Now, if it's Green Bay or Pittsburgh, you could probably convince JJ to play longer at your place. But see, this is where smart organizations would have a deal done before they traded for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what smart organizations might do. Not the Texans organization. A smart organization, that's what they would do. They would have a deal in place with JJ, and then you can give up a second rounder. But for JJ, for a one-year rental, nah.
I'm looking. I mean, you could get. They would give you Josh Jackson. I mean, Packers fans would love to get rid of him. I might take him just to see what he could do for this team. But maybe you get a guy like, maybe you can get a Shannon Sullivan at corner, a Josh Jackson at corner, and a third round pick for JJ and a fifth rounder,
yeah,
something like that.
No, you could. You know what? That wouldn't be a bad idea. Getting a corner.
No, I mean, they've got guys. Sullivan's okay. Josh Jackson's been mostly a bust, but, you know, he's got some ball skills. He fits the Patriot way type. He's a long guy with ball production. My guess is Casario probably likes some things about him. He's played some safety. He's played some corner. I mean, it's better than getting a Gerrion Conley for a third. You get him as a throw-in, and you see if you can develop him. I'm just looking at Green Bay. Like, they're not going to get rid of Kingsley Kiki. Preston Smith, I doubt they get. They wouldn't get rid of Rashawn Gary yet. I don't know. Pittsburgh might actually be the place you have to look.
They might get rid of Rashawn Gary.
No, they might. They might. He's a first rounder. I mean, I'd take him.
Yeah.
I'd take Rashawn Gary. I'd take Rashawn. You give us Rashawn Gary. Now, you're getting his rookie contract, so he's not super expensive. You give the Texans Rashawn Gary as a rusher. I'll take Rashawn Gary and a third round pick. They're not going to give you that, but that's what you asked for J.J. Watt.
No, you just say, all right, just give me a fourth for J.J. Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
No, you don't know that. We don't do that.
Oh.
We don't do that.
That's not what we do anymore?
No, we try not to do.
They both learned from Belichick. So, you know what? That's how Nick Casario might go about it.
I'm trying to look and see if there's anybody on the defensive line, secondary. It's like the Steelers. Justin Lane, maybe you ask for him. And Sean Davis would be an upgrade for – Sean Davis would be an upgrade, I guess. I mean, look, there's some – you could get a secondary player from another team. You could get somebody for your secondary and a draft pick for J.J. Watt. If they're not going to give you a two, you say, look, we'll take a three and we'll take Sean Davis. And who's played safety, started for safety for the Steelers. You know what? Okay, we'll do that. They probably would do – the Steelers would probably do that. Maybe you ask for Justin Lane, who's on a rookie contract, a corner. They might do that. And you got a corner. That's what is more, hopefully more likely for the Texans, is if you don't get a high draft pick, then get somebody that you know is better than the guys on your roster. And if you've got if you got James Lipford on the pro side, along with Matt Casario, who's already looked at these guys, they should know guys that they believe are an upgrade over Vernon Hargraves and Philip Gaines and all these other guys who can't stop anyone. It shouldn't be hard finding an upgrade from another team, right? You should be able to upgrade your secondary just pulling backups off another team. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Yeah. Yep.
These guys aren't starting for anyone else.
I would admit, yeah. I mean, there's the corner position. So, yeah, you know what? That would be awesome if you could get somebody that could actually be on the field, even as a nickel or a dime.
JJ. Just to get things headed in the right direction. Right. Just small incremental pieces to get your lineup a little bit better.
Yep. Or Pittsburgh now. Pittsburgh, too, is another team that you could possibly see and J.J. want to go to. And he'd be valuable there, being on the field with his brother, both brothers. That would be interesting now. What would the Steelers give up for him? The Steelers need help. That's for sure. They need a quarterback. That's what they need most, and J.J.'s not going to do that, I don't think. I don't think J.J. will play quarterback for him. 713-780-3776.
Well, he did run a Wattcat one.
He did run the Wattcat. That was a wonderful play. I remember how well that worked out for him. Yeah, that was awesome. We got to get the Spanish 101 yard pick six from Lamar. I'll put it on the rundown, Dell. We got to hear that. See how that went. My question is Deshaun going to be? Does this affect Deshaun in any way, shape, or form? Trading away JJ after they got rid of Clowney, after they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins, and getting rid of JJ. Dwayne Brown was gone right before he got here, right? Or no. Was it right when? Was that Deshaun's rookie year? Was Dwayne Brown?
Yes.
That was his rookie year.
So no. Deshaun's rookie year, yes. Dwayne Brown was here for his rookie year, I believe.
And was he? So during Deshaun's...
Wait, no. Deshaun's rookie year was 17? So I came here in November of 17. So no, I want to say Dwayne was already in Seattle.
Was that 16? Anyway, whatever the case may be, Deshaun has watched them get rid of all of their best players. Oh, the only good, every single good player, every great player on this team, Deshaun has watched them just give away. And in a lot of instances, just give away. And now he's going to see JJ as well.
He started with Houston, and then remember he left at trade deadline.
Yeah, at that year.
Deshaun, he played here 1 year, and I want to say it was a Seattle game. Or no. Remember, it was right before the trade deadline or the bye week or whatever. He came back to play. Remember, he was out there. So, yeah, he was probably gone by the time that Deshaun got hurt because he came back right when he needed to come back.
Right. Whatever the case may be, this may be the straw. If they get rid of JJ, and while it's smart football-wise.
Well, but that's why you need someone to talk to. This is why you need to have a relationship with him. If you're Nick Caserio, say, look, here's the plan. We believe that getting rid of JJ will help us. We love JJ. We're sure you love JJ too. This is how I'd talk to him, and I'd say, I'm sure you love JJ. We love him. He's still a good football player. We think that there's value because, look, Jack and Bill screwed this thing up. I don't know if Nick would say that, but I would say it. I'd be honest. I'd say, look, they screwed this thing up. So what we got to do is we've got to try to invest. We've got to try to grow our draft capital. We got to be smart with our money because we think we can start to put money back into free agency, really improve the roster quickly for you and for us. And then what we want to do is get as many draft picks as possible because, let's face it, we're going to improve our roster with more draft picks. There's no way we can't make this roster better. So we think JJ has this value on the market, and we think that actually benefits you more than having him on a defense. It's not good. We want to uplift that defense now so you don't have to carry the lion's share. You got to talk to him like that and tell him, look, well, these are our plans. The call. That's the problem is you might not even be able to.
Well, that's
if
right.
He's so dead set. I mean, if people in Houston, Sarah Barshot from ESPN said, people in the inside and outside the organization believe that Deshaun Watson has played his last game as a Texan. That's incredibly disheartening. That's incredibly disheartening that you could end up losing.
The only good news about that is that Bill O'Brien's no longer here to mess up the trade.
I'm already past O'Brien. Like I'm.
No. But that, well, and we'll find out because I think Rafael Stone has made some really, really nice moves, and surprisingly so. We'll find out what Nick Caserio's made of making deals with other GMs. We'll find out. I mean, if this is the deal, I mean, look at Rafael Stone. The first thing he had to do, well, first thing he did was pick up Christian Wood and then, you know, getting rid of Covington and then getting rid of James Harden or getting rid of, well, Russell Westbrook. Daryl got rid of him, didn't he? Or did Rafael Stone? Rafael Stone got rid of Russell Westbrook.
Daryl,
that's right.
No, Daryl did.
Daryl did.
Daryl traded. Oh, no. Rafael Stone got rid of Westbrook. Daryl got rid of all the draft picks so he could bring him in. Daryl brought in Westbrook. Daryl was already gone. Remember, almost as soon as the season was over, like.
That's right. Yeah. And, yeah, because they were looking for. That's right. They were looking for the head coach and and Rafael Stone was in on that deal. So he had to get rid of Russell Westbrook. He had to get rid of James Harden. And he did a pretty damn good job doing it. We'll find out what Nick Caserio is made of as far as doing this stuff. We'll find out whether if he's up to it. Because this is your first thing that you have to do as a Houston Texan GM is trade Deshaun Watson.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not unlike what Rafael Stone
faced. That's what
faced.
I'm saying.
Yeah, and you say Rafael, but the fact is, there was leverage issues. See, I don't buy into – I know Dell brought it up too. I think if you're Houston, you have an unbelievably valuable commodity.
Yeah.
You have a guy who signed under a contract, even though it's not as long as you would want.
You got him for 4 years.
You got him for 4 years, though. You have the he's way better than the second quarterback in this draft. You have an opportunity right now to compete at the highest level. Like, if you're the Jets, you could potentially... Now, Deshaun does have a trade debt. But you know what? You might be able to sell him on the fact that, listen, we are going to keep our second first-rounder. We're going to give the Texans our first-rounder this year, our first-rounder next year, and our first-rounder the year after that. We'll give them three. Whatever the case is, we're going to keep a first-rounder this year. We got a great young left tackle, and then we are going to really spend money in free agency. Denzel Mims is coming along. It's not optimal for Deshaun, obviously. Miami is the spot. Miami's the optimal spot. But do you want Tua? No. Force Dell and his people to have Tua.
Well,
they wanted Tua so bad.
God forbid.
Tank for Tua.
You want Tua.
You
want Darnold?
No.
What are you talking about?
I don't want any of them.
You don't want any of them. You want any
That's why I don't love this. But I will recognize the fact that if you traded Deshaun, you get better faster.
Yep.
In theory, unless you screw up the draft picks.
I mean, you wouldn't trade him to Indy. What about to the Saints?
Chris Solis had a tweet yesterday. It's easy to find people to hold your hands and pray. It's hard to find franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's his way of saying, Easterby's.
Well, no, Cal has to go now.
859 ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, but if Easterby's not there, Cal's just some guy playing with trains.
That seems like a little jab.
Oh, that reminds me of Sight Jab. When they're jabbing at the competition with their brand new, and it's not just the web designs. What Sight Jab does for you is you can go to the website, and the first thing you notice is they're going to be, it's kind of Steeler colors, right? Black and gold, that's their colors. But it really catches your eye. And then as you scroll down and you look at some of the work that they've done, that will catch your eye as well. The great thing is they are more than just web designers. Yes, they can customize a website for you in 3 to 6 weeks. They can start from scratch and do it 3 to 6 weeks so that you have the newest, best-looking website. The user interface is awesome. They understand the different types of algorithms that are predictive in nature that tell you how long people are likely to stay on your site if you do things a certain way. Because the whole thing is getting people on a website, stay as long as they can, and then that gets them to your messages and who you are and what you've done, and there's a better chance you can convert that into currency and leads and money. They do web design. They do professional video production, lead generation, branding and identity, social media management, and, of course, business consulting. This is your entire suite of products that you need from a company, and it can start with redesigning your website. Make sure that you look at SiteJab. They're right here in Houston, a Houston-owned company, been doing it for 2 decades, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.